The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Unz. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Bryce. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. And it makes some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Oberst, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set, pop!
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast, so that means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, Burn the Stage was so fucking amazing.
Or, BTS hasn't tweeted in a week and my brat ass feels starved.
Then you're in the right place. Today's episode is about Burn the Stage, the movie, which we were lucky enough to get tickets to in our own towns.
Yeah, it's incredible that they had showings in both St. Louis and Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into it, we have to thank you wonderful armies for being here and for supporting us. If you're a fan of this show and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by writing a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. We have a bonus episode coming out tomorrow for reaching 200 reviews, which is like so amazing.
Yes.
And so when we reach 300, we'll do another bonus episode. And if you'd like to show us a little more support than that, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/stanningbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/stanningbtspodcast. And again, your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. And any type of support is incredibly appreciated by all of you. But we are actively putting up content on our Patreon, like car videos and upcoming fan fictions and other special content.
Yeah, and I am like hammering out all of the details right now of these car ride videos to make them like actually good. So you can see those on Patreon.
They are good. I'm sure of it.
Okay, so today we're talking about Burn the Stage. And I guess we should kind of say like a little disclaimer before,
mm-hmm.
because showings of this documentary are now over in theaters, and we're not sure if we'll ever get a DVD or if we'll be able to stream it on any platform. So we're going to be reviewing it and talking about it. So I guess this is spoilers if you ever get the chance to see it. But if you don't get to see it, this is like a synopsis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first off, BTS broke the record for the highest grossing cinema concert production with 1.4 million worldwide admissions. And the record was previously held in 2014 by One Direction's Where We Are. And so the movie was a huge success, least to say. And it was played over a three-day weekend with a cumulative total in North America of $3.6 million.
Wow.
And then the event was even larger, globally. And there was a total of 2,500 theaters around the world. And it accounted for nearly $14 million in ticket sales.
Wow, that is insane. Always breaking records, okay? Everything that they do, they break a record.
It's not a surprise anymore.
Like, it's not even stretching the truth. It's every single time that they're, like, up to try to break a record that we hear about or whatever. Like, they broke it. There you go. And maybe we're only hearing about it because it was, like, something that they broke. If it's something that they didn't break, obviously we're not going to, like, hear, like, headlines about BTS not breaking some record. But, like, it's really fucking cool to see it happen almost all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible.
So... We both saw this movie, like we said, in our respective cities. So me here in Kansas City and Bethany in St. Louis. And we were literally texting in the group chat, like, up until 7 p.m.
Like, up until 7 o'clock. But we were just both so excited for it. And I went with my two friends, Amber and Sarah, and I kind of told them that we should maybe get there 30 minutes before the movie starts, and I thought that would be plenty of time to just grab our seats and settle in. But when we got there 30 minutes early, it was almost completely packed, and the only seats that we were able to get were, like, down up at the front, which are not the best seats, but it's BTS or whatever. Like, I got a seat at least. But there were actually some people at my theater that had to stand. I don't know if they sold more tickets than seats or what happened, or there were, like, people putting one seat in between each other, like, in between groups. So there were a couple people in my theater who were standing for the entire movie, which was crazy.
That's, like, I mean, that's really crazy.
But yeah, 30 minutes early, and I couldn't even find, like, it was hard for us to find seats.
Didn't you go to an AMC theater?
Yeah, I went to an AMC. Yeah.
You didn't have assigned seats, like, when you bought the tickets?
No. I was shocked by that, because normally they do, but there weren't assigned seats. That's weird. Why I was more eager to get there earlier than what I would want. But it was still super fun and pleasant, and our crowd was really great. I didn't really talk to any other ARMYs. I feel bad, but I was mostly talking to Amber and Sarah, and we were just fangirling and whatnot. But what was really, I wasn't expecting this. It was really neat, actually. Was, I guess my AirDrop was turned on. I just hadn't turned it off. And all of a sudden, I started getting these notifications of people wanting to AirDrop pictures to me. And so there were these BTS memes of Jungkook and Namjoon and all this popping up on my phone. Like, what?
Amazing.
Like, what is happening?
Oh, my God.
So there were a handful of people in my theater who were just AirDropping shit to each other. And it was really fun just to look at all the pictures they were sharing.
That's incredible. That's, like, such ARMY culture. Like,
it really is.
Like, Stan Twitter was there.
Yeah. So everyone was really respectful, though, at my theater. It was fairly quiet. Everyone was attentive to what was happening on screen. But also, it was active, too. People were, you know, awing over things and laughing, you know, when members would say stupid shit. But, yeah, it was great. It was a really fun experience.
That's awesome. I was also at an AMC theater, but ours had assigned seats. And when I bought these tickets a month ago, I got two of the last four seats in the theater, and they just happened to be, like, in the top middle, like, third row, second or third row from the top and right in the middle. It was crazy lucky, the seats we got, because I'm one of those people who's really particular about, like, where I sit in a movie. Like, I get to movies early because I want to sit in the vicinity of where I always want to sit. Because I just think it's the best movie experience. So I was, like, astounded to see these two seats. So I bought them, and they were great seats. But, I mean, it's an AMC theater, right? So we were expecting, like, the big, nice seats. No. They put us in, like, the oldest, smallest movie theater, like, in this whole theater. Like, the seats were, like, really small. So disappointing. Yeah, so disappointing.
You don't get the heated seats and the recliner.
Like, the big recliners, I know. Which sounds so stupid to complain about. I know, so spoiled. Yeah. Because, like, we got to see it still. And people in my theater weren't really interactive in the ways that, like, yours was. Like, when you told me your theater was airdropping memes, I was like, oh, my God, that's the best thing ever. I wish that people were doing that here. And I actually sent one out, but, like, nobody else did, so I didn't do it. I just thought it'd be so fun. But
yeah, it was really bizarre that that was happening. I don't know who started that. I mean, I just lucked out in the sense that I had my airdrop turned on already. Otherwise, I would not have known about it.
Yeah, that's just so fun. So I was there with Jordan, and so it was kind of like a little date. Like, we had had dinner before, which was really nice. And when we got to our seats, the two people in front of us were talking, and one of them was like, oh, I was in Chicago at the second day, and the other one was like, oh, I was at Fort Worth, and I'm nosy as fuck. So I was like, excuse me, did you say you were in Fort Worth? And she was like, yeah. I said, oh, cool, like, I was there too on the second day. And she was like, oh, me too, day two. She said, we got Barricade. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I just ended the conversation then. I don't know. People seemed like they didn't really want to talk unless they already knew you, which...
Yeah.
Which was
weird. I got that kind of vibe as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it kind of gave... Maybe because I'm just a defensive person, but it kind of gave me, like, a standoffish vibe. But anyways, I was like...
Did he or she sound snobby when they were like, I was at Barricade?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I could have been like, well, I got Yoongi's fucking water bottle. Like,
you should have.
But I didn't. I didn't, because I'm not, that's like, throw that's right not back me. At her.
Yeah, no, you're too nice.
But I don't know. Just don't be that way to Army. Like, don't be standoff to Army.
Yeah.
Like,
be
I
nice.
Was telling people, like, I like your shirt. Oh my God. Like, whatever. Anyways. So people weren't like that interactive before the movie, but people were so reactive during the movie, like all in the right ways, all exactly the way that like they wanted us to have with the direction of this movie. Like, people were like oohing and aahing and laughing and like crying at the same time. And
yeah, as if it wasn't planned in advance,
as if it was like, I mean, it was like the fan chant of watching the movie almost. Like, it seemed like it was planned. Like, everybody, all, like, what I'm saying is the way that they directed this movie was in a perfect way to get the same reaction from everybody at the same time. And it was very Army driven. Like, I feel like we would understand it so well, which is why we all had those same reactions. But other people would also, like, people who aren't Army or don't really know anything about BTS, they would get it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for the remainder of the episode, we're really just going to talk about certain moments throughout the movie that really stood out to us and I think stood out to the majority of Armies while watching. But we're definitely not going to talk about everything that is shown within the movie, but hopefully we'll hit on some major highlights that happened throughout. So one of the things that was really neat that I wasn't expecting was Yoongi narrating almost the entire thing, which was so perfect because his voice is so deep and rich and calming that it fit the mood of the movie. And it didn't fit it. He set the mood for it, really, because
completely.
It is emotional and thoughtful, and it makes us as Armies really think about what it is like for them behind the stage.
Yeah, you're right. His voice really carried all of that through really well. Something that I really enjoyed about the movie, and at first I thought it was an interesting choice, but the clips of them performing on stage were often really short. Like, it would have short clips of that, and then it would go back to, like, their lives, essentially, or what was going on between the scenes. And so during these performing clips, the music was quieter, almost like quieter than Yoongi's speaking voice. And at first I thought it was like a weird choice. I'm like, I kind of wish that I could hear like the loud song and like, you know, enjoy it. But then I realized like, that's not what this was for. This wasn't for like a concert. It's not, it wasn't about the music. It was about the in between. And it felt like those moments were far away kind of memories. And it was really enjoying. It really like, it felt, it's, it, it also set the mood for this, for the movie.
And I think whenever you hear those songs, we've heard the songs hundreds of times, so it's just not a focus point of the movie. And they did a terrific job with that by muting the sound just a little bit on when they were on stage.
For sure.
But overall, I think it was thoughtfully put together, and it was a perfect balance between sweet, funny, and serious moments.
Yes.
Because I went in with the idea of, oh my gosh, I need to wear waterproof mascara and bring my tissue box because I'm going to cry the entire time. Because we saw Burn the Sage, the Red YouTube series, and that was just a roller coaster of emotion, really. And so that's what I was prepared for going in. But there were so many funny moments and just so many adorable moments, too, that I think really balanced it out. So you didn't feel just like a puddle of tears the entire time.
Yeah. And almost like the teary moments were almost like proud moments.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's not really. I mean, there were moments that were sad because they either got injured or whatever, but it was mostly proud and thinking about the future of BTS and how far they've come and how much they've accomplished.
Yeah. So just to hit on some similarities and differences from the movie and the YouTube series, because you brought up the series. And so if you've seen the series on YouTube, basically each episode was about a stop on their tour and then going to the next stop. But the movie was like more of an overall takeaway from the entire experience. And
I saw it as more focused on the group as a whole rather than as individual members. Because the YouTube series, I felt focused on one or two members for each episode, whereas this was entirely focused on the group as a whole.
For sure. And they showed the crew more. And like they showed their actual faces instead of blurring them.
Yeah,
it was really cool to see them. Yeah, it was just really cool to see them celebrate together. And like they're probably really close with their crew, you know?
Yeah, definitely. There was one scene where it just wasn't focused on Taeyang at all, but I kind of noticed him in the back corner. And he was in, I know, I'm sorry. I noticed him in this separate room. And he wasn't by any BTS members. He was just hanging out with crew members. I'm pretty sure there were just crew members around him. And he was just like talking with them and enjoying conversation with them. And I thought, wow, I can't imagine how truly close they are to these, to their crew members, because they work every day with them and they travel around the world with them. So I'm sure they have to be close, but you don't really get to see that. And I think that's kind of neat in the sense that the crew members' lives are respected and like they're kept kind of
their private
own privacy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the members are super close to a lot of them and consider them to be some of their best friends.
Oh yeah. And like, I'm sure they're super grateful to them and like they have to be close, like the amount of time that they all spend. But it is nice that they have that kind of privacy about them. But it was cool to be able to see like little glimpses.
Yeah.
So another like must talk about thing for this is Jungkook's exhaustion scene. And this was like shown in the YouTube series. This freaked everybody out. We were like, oh my God, we can't believe that that happened. People went back and watched fan cams from that day and were like, I can't believe that he performed this after, like between that happening. This movie showed a lot more stress from the other members than the scene did during the YouTube series. Because in the YouTube series, it just showed a lot of what was going on with Jungkook, but it was not showing like the other members so much. And I just remember an especially worried look from Namjoon, like burned in my mind. Like, it's like they're just backstage behind the curtain or something. And he's like, I mean, he looks like scared and stressed and just so worried.
Yeah. And I remember him, he kept, yelling at all the other members, like, we can't push ourselves. We can't, you know, go outside of our limitations. You know, we got to put our health first. And mm-hmm. I think he just was so upset to see that Jungkook had pushed himself that hard, because it was their last show. And that is why he, in Chile, maybe, I think that's where they were. But yeah. It was their last show. Yeah. And he's, of course, thinking of ARMY. And so he pushed himself beyond what his body could handle.
His limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And during that part of the movie, we had some narration from Yoongi where he was talking about how easy it was for him to put himself and his own needs mm-hmm. aside. But like... when another member is hurt or struggling, he cannot stop thinking about them. And he knows that it's the same for the other members. And so just that kind of helped put it into perspective on like how much they worry about each other and care about each other. But and like how impactful something like that has on the whole group.
Yeah. And that really just shows how selfless Yoongi is. Because if he could take on all the hardships of all of the other members, he would. And you know he would. And
He would.
So him saying that, I remember that part.
I feel
part.
Like any of the members, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So another thing that happened that was also sad that I don't think was really shown that much during the YouTube series was...
I don't remember seeing this part at all during the YouTube series.
Yeah, I feel that there was maybe a clip or two, but I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've seen it. But mm-hmm. Namjoon injures his leg pretty seriously. And they definitely show this a lot more during Burn the Sage, the movie, than they did in the YouTube series, if they did at all. Mm-hmm. And it was just shocking to see how serious of an injury it was, because they had to splint both sides and tape it all the way around from bottom to top, his entire leg. And he just looked like he was in excruciating pain. I mean, just he looked miserable. And J-Hope came and checked up on him to see. He was like, is it that bad? Is it this serious? He's like, yeah, man, like it's bad. And it was just so, so sad to see. And then you saw Jimin off to the side, who was also kind of in the, I guess, like rehabilitation room that they kind of take care of their injuries. And... Mm-hmm. Namjoon checked up on Jimin, who apparently hurt his ankle as well, and his foot had been hurting.
Yeah, and I remember this scene in the movie because Jimin was, like, saying, like, no, I'm fine. And Namjoon, this is, like, a little bit later. Like, he's not in as excruciating pain, but he's laying on the table getting taped up, obviously more injured, and he's, like, concerned about Jimin and, like, trying to make sure that Jimin gets some tape. He's like, well, let's get you taped up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jimin is, he's trying to, like, be like, I'm fine. No, like, just worry about you and, you know, let them work on you.
Mm-hmm. It's like he's trying to brush off his injury as well because he's more concerned about Namjoon. Yeah.
Which is such a Jimin thing.
Yeah. And such a Namjoon thing.
I know. But it really, it shocked me to see, like, the level of, like, strenuous activity that their bodies go through. Something that it makes me think of during this part where they're showing, like, the members get so worn out. Yoongi was narrating and saying something about, like, they say that idols burn out, like, at, like, the 6-year mark, and, like, that's when you start to, like, get tired or get injured or whatever, and that's how long they've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are under so much, like, physical strain, and I mm-hmm. don't think we think about that as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But shortly after all of that, we got to see, and by the way, all of this might not be in order, but, like, we got to see this amazing pool scene.
It was the best. I was grinning ear to ear when I was watching this.
Literally. So this happened when they were on a break during the tour, like a day or two gap, we think. Maybe, like, we think mm-hmm. in LA. But they are in this backyard that has a big pool and grill and table. So they're grilling out. They have pasta. They have a ton of food that they share just
they
outside standing around the table. They have beer.
Yeah.
They have wine. They are drinking a lot.
They're enjoying themselves.
They're having a great time. there, we get this part of the scene where they're just like diving or jumping or flipping into the pool. And we get about 5 shots in a row of Jin doing different forms of really bad dives or jumps or flips.
Oh, it's the best.
Like, it would show, like, Jungkook doing it, like, a perfect, like, forward flip into the pool.
Oh,
and then
course.
It would show Jin, like, all right, I'm ready to do it. And it would be, like, totally, like, on his back or something, like, mm-hmm. just not.
Such a goofball.
Such a goofball. Yeah.
And then after they're kind of just all jumping in, and it has all these really dramatic shots of them doing these exotic flips into the pool, the camera then pans over to Yoongi, who is fully clothed, lounging in a chair under an umbrella, drinking a glass of wine, while the others are just drenched and splashing each other in the water. And it's just so Yoongi.
Yeah. He just, which, like, I love it. He was soaking it up, you know?
Oh, of course. And I have to say this, Yoongi in this movie was just such a blessing. And mm-hmm. the reason I say that is because he just looked so happy. To me, that is what I got from him. Mm-hmm. Every single scene I saw him, even though he was maybe working on a song and he was getting frustrated, he still seemed content and that he was okay with feeling writer's block or whatever. He just seemed happy to me. And that means the world, because I just want them all to be happy, you know?
Mm-hmm. I totally get that. You can really see that, like, right in that moment, you know, him just mm-hmm. chilling on those chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we also got to see them, like, later in that little scene, Yoongi tries to, like, pop a whole bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because they're like, have you done this before? Of course I've done this mm-hmm. before, you know, like, he's like, he is totally playing it cool. And they are all drunk at this point. Like,
they have to be.
And he like shakes it up, and then he tries to pop the cap off and he doesn't. And then he did, but it didn't even like spray out
mm-hmm.
like at all. And he mm-hmm. wanted it to. So he's just like thrusting the bottle forward to try to get it to like fizz up and try to get it to like come out. And it is the most like pitiful like thing.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it definitely didn't spray how he was planning it to do.
No. It's another one of those really funny moments and like just kind of sweet, like BTS or just normal fucking people who struggle to do.
Normal people. I mean, when you see this pool scene, you just think, wow, they're such boys. They're just mm-hmm. having fun and being stupid together. And they just seem that they're embracing every moment of it.
Yeah. Like it was, mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite scenes for sure.
Yeah. So another thing that happened that really stood out to us was they showed behind the scenes for the 2017 AMA's performance, where they performed DNA. And I think this was their first time, this was their premiere, I guess, for performing in the States on American television.
Yeah, it was.
Because, Kayla, we had a party for this.
Yeah, we had, when this scene came on in the movie, I turned to Jordan and I was like, do you remember when we had a fucking watch party for this?
Mm-hmm. When, like, I was still in Kansas City, we really, like, I just had all of my friends over, whether they stand BTS or not. I was like, you're coming to this, because it was around my birthday. So I played it off as a birthday party. I actually didn't tell my OT friends that it was BTS themed.
Oh my God.
I just said it's my birthday party. So they came and it was like, I mean,
there was literally like 20 people there.
Yeah, guys, I took balloons.
She planned games.
We
played 3 games.
They were run episode games, like previous run episode games that I planned out. And then I made everyone like team up. I had the teams planned, and like the teams were ship names. Like, you were either on like, I don't even remember.
I was on Team Soap. I remember
you were
mine.
On Soap. I think I was on V Cookman or V Min Cook or whatever, like it was the Maknae line. But it was really fun, and I'll never forget it. But that was for their AMA performance, because it was a big deal.
Oh yeah, it was a big deal. It was like, do you remember, like, finally we get to the part of the AMAs when it's their turn and we were like, everybody shut the fuck up, and we like had the lights off. We were sitting on the floor. I'm pretty sure you were leaned like forward on the ottoman, And by the end of it, all of us in there who were like actual BTS stans were crying. Like,
yeah, I was like dragging the skin on my face, just pulling down like, no, this was too perfect.
It was like, it was such a big deal in that moment. And like, what they showed in the movie is how honestly so surprised BTS was at how many fans were there.
But when they left, they were just so surprised at how much applause they got for their performance. It just was like, they were so starstruck, really.
Yeah, they had no idea. And there were people who were like camping out for hours by where celebrities enter just to get a glimpse of them. And they could not believe that. And I was like, if I knew for sure I could get right there and see them for a second, I'd fucking do it. Like,
fuck yeah. I would wait a couple hours outside just so I can get a glimpse of them. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they could not believe that people were standing out there. They were like, Namjoon said they were out there in the heat. Like, I'm like, damn. Like, all right. Like,
they're so concerned about ARMY too.
Literally. They're so caring. And anyways, another thing with all the ARMYs there, BTS mentioned that celebrities were like looking at them like, who are they? Because everybody was just screaming for them. And they said that that felt really surreal. Like, they just could not believe that was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was a pivotal moment for them. It really was. I think it was the beginning of their immense success in the States.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's continuing to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, so another scene that really is kind of iconic that might be showing up on your timelines.
Oh my God, yes.
Yoongi just drinking a glass of wine, not even a glass, like a whole freaking bottle is right next to him. And he's like, he's just like writing music, man. Like, it just gets to be draining a little bit, and it is difficult. And I can't imagine, I can't even write one song, so having to be the main writer for the majority of their music, I can't imagine.
Yeah, he actually said in the movie that he doesn't normally drink when he's making, like, writing music because it makes his head all fuzzy, but like, tonight was different or something. And I just, the fact that he chose red wine, you know, red wine puts you in a certain mood. Like,
I love red wine. I'm so on red wine right now.
Yes, girl. So I just feel this scene, big fucking mood. Like, you can relate to it completely. It's a big fucking mood.
Yeah. So another scene that obviously stood out a lot to me was the scene where Jin is having to exercise with, like, BTS's personal trainer, who I guess just comes into their hotel room at a certain time of day and is like, all right, ready for your workout. Like, that's amazing. But what I just love about this scene is really the interaction between the trainer and Jin. So I'm sure the trainer just, like, loves his job, obviously. But I just have this gut feeling that when he has to train with Jin, that Jin is probably the most challenging client to motivate. I mean, come on. Oh. So what is just so cute is that Jin is, of course, complaining and moaning the entire time. And he's, like, cracking these ridiculous jokes with the trainer. And the trainer, I feel that he just gives up. He just eventually gives up, and he literally falls forward on top of Jin, just overwhelmed with laughter because Jin is being so ridiculous. And I just think it's such a cute interaction that they decided to share with us, that we got to see. Like, Jin is still, even in his off time in his hotel room, training and conditioning so that he can go out and perform. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But, like, just seeing that he has, like, these inside jokes and that same kind of humor, even with, like, the BTS athletic trainers.
Yeah. And when in a moment, like, you know, that's, you know, there's not always a camera there for things like that. Like, that would be the first time. And it's not like that was an act for the scene or whatever, because you could tell that they were, like, so natural. Like, they weren't putting anything on because the cameras... Like, the point is that, like, this was real Jin. Like, this is just how he is. And it was really cool to see him interact like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that he's just so funny.
Yeah, so funny. Like, so goofy. Literally. So, something that I really need to talk about... Okay, Jungkook looking like a total fuckboy in that grout fit. Okay, I'm sure, like, if you have not seen pictures of this, you just need to look up, like, Jungkook grout fit. I'm sure it'll come up
because... I'm posting it on our Instagram.
Literally, for sure. Fucking, he was wearing, like, gray, obviously all gray, it's a grout fit. The shorts were like exercise shorts that he puts both of his hands in the pockets and kind of like holds it up. And then he's wearing like a gray hoodie and he just looks way too fucking good. Like,
yeah. And yeah. His face is bare face. I think he maybe just got out of the shower, like just woke up. Like, his hair is very tousled and very messy.
But he looks like such a man.
He looks like a total man, but he looks like a fuckboy. But it's funny because, like, he's just the kindest, sweetest boy ever.
Yeah, so you know that he's not. So you're
just
like,
the way
damn.
He's standing, his, like, body posture is just, like, fuckboy.
But you know how he is, so you're like, this is the hottest dude on the planet right now. You said that people in your theater, like, flipped out. Nobody in my theater made a sound.
Oh my gosh.
I was just sitting there thinking, like...
People in my theater flipped the fuck out. Like, people were like, what? Like, Jungkook.
Oh my God.
It was so perfect. I mean, how could you not notice him? He was just behind the couch.
Literally.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he just was stealing the spotlight.
Stealing
there.
The show. Nobody in my theater made a noise. And I was sitting there.
That's terrible.
I know. I was sitting there like, oh my God, does anyone else fucking see this? Like,
yeah.
This is, I think I said something to Jordan about it just because I was dying so much, like, to my own husband. Like, do you see how fucking hot Jungkook is right now? Because.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, nobody made a sound.
Amber and Sarah beside me, and we were all like, oh, fuck. Like, goodness.
God. And you guys were close up, so it was, like, right above you.
Oh, it was right there. Amazing.
Okay. So, another scene that I really love is when Jungkook, Jimin, and Jin are sitting on the floor of a hotel room, and they're eating a meal. And they're, like, just joking around, laughing, like, Jin making jokes, like, teasing, and just, like, having a good time and enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Jimin just says, I almost cried my eyes out yesterday. And they asked him why, and he said because, like, he messed up during his performance. And this was, like...
Yeah, during his, like, rehearsal.
Yeah, during his rehearsal. And immediately there was a change in Jin and Jungkook's, like, demeanor, and they just like consoled him or said something, like, really nice and kind to try to, you know, let him know, like, it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rehearsal. That's what rehearsal's for, right.
Mm-hmm. And, like, when he messed up during rehearsal, he was just sitting there with his head in his hands, and we see, like, Namjoon sitting next to him and comforting him. And Namjoon is telling him, like, hey, no one is perfect. We all make mistakes. And he specifically, I remember him saying, like, you can't dwell on this mistake. You can't keep thinking about this mistake, or it's going to make you mess up again and it'll be a worse one. So, like, it's okay. Like, you have to be able to let it go and not be so hard on yourself.
Something about this that made me actually shed a tear. I only cried twice. I thought I would cry more, but this one was just a little tear. Mm-hmm. And it was when, after this scene, Jimin walks out from the stage and back behind where, like, they have couches and places where they can just relax while they're, like, getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
And Taeyong is sitting on the couch, like, on his phone, and he sees Jimin come in, just head down, shoulders forward, and then just plops on the couch on the other side of the room. And Taeyong looks up and he just notices this right away, like, something's off. And I think he was probably there for the performance, but I think he's just upset that that Jimin is still beating himself up over this rehearsal. And so he says, Like, are you okay? Like, Jimin, are you all right? And it's so unlike Jimin to not say anything. He doesn't even respond to him or even look at him. He just kind of cowers into the couch and just like looks at his phone and like doesn't want to.
He literally it wasn't even like he cowered into the couch almost. He just like didn't even respond. It was like he didn't even hear it. He just stayed on his phone.
Yeah.
Like not saying anything. It was, and you're right, it was so weird to see him not respond and not say anything.
And Taeyang's response to this is what made me cry because V-Min. Taeyang, like normally I feel that I would just let it be and that the person just needs to be left alone or whatever. But Taeyang got up and walked over to Jimin, grabbed his hand and just took him out of the room to just separate him from like the cameras and like the crew that was probably in there just so he could talk to him. And that friendship moment was just seeing Taeyang be so active in that scenario to just know that Jimin needs someone right now and that like he wants to be the person to help him and to help him feel better about himself.
You're going
to
make me cry now.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, like I love that moment. I also like,
yeah, it's such a good friendship moment between them.
It was so sweet.
So another scene that I think was very unique to this movie versus the YouTube series is that we got to see a scene where BTS meets formally with Bang PD or Hitman Bang, whichever you want to call him. He's whatever. But this is like kind of around Billboard or AMAs, like some sort of big event is happening or had happened. I think it was right after AMAs that they had met with him. And I think they were just kind of going over the business side of things, because what's crazy to me is we all know who Hitman Bang is. We know that he's the CEO of Big Hit and that he's the one who really started this company where he wants the artists to be able to express themselves and write their own music. Like that's what he built it off of. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Like it's, I mean, BTS is just, it surpasses all the other companies really in the K-pop industry. But anyways, we don't really get to see him that often. No. And we really don't get to see him interact with BTS. And for him being such a crucial part of Big Hit, you don't see him interact with them that often, which is strange. So seeing this was really kind of intimate and special. So what he said to them, and I'm sure that they talked about a lot of the specifics involving Billboard and kind of what they have planned for the upcoming year or whatever, he focused a lot on BTS and the members and their happiness and where they're at right now, and then also ARMY.
What I thought was really cool in all of this was, like, how rare do you think that an artist of any music company, like, signed to any label, whatever, signed to any music company, actually gets to meet with, like, the CEO of the company and has that close of a relationship with the CEO where you're gonna sit and talk to your, you know, main producer who like has supported you so much. And one of the main things that that person who makes so much money from the existence of you cares about is your happiness, not how can we make more money, not we need to be better, not you need to do this, you need to do that. But he literally says, most of all, find something that makes you happy. And like, he was just talking about that it's of utmost importance that they take care of themselves and that they are happy. And he says that the success that they have comes with stress. And that's what leads artists to a lot of misery. And he doesn't want that for them. So I just like, I love this whole scene and everything, and getting to see some of like the business part of it was also really cool because we never have gotten to see anything like that before.
No. And what I love about it too is it gives me a lot of appreciation for Bang PD, even though I already had a lot of respect with like for him to begin with. But the fact that he cares so much about the members, he cares so much about ARMY, but also that he sees the importance in the members being themselves and being true to themselves. And that is like a large reason to why they've become so successful is because, I mean, Kayla, we've said this before, they seem such like ordinary men that they feel like an arm's reach from us.
Yeah.
And they are so active on social media and they talk to us all the time and we get content like almost daily from them. But also they just kind of come off as normal human beings because they are normal human beings. And that's a big part of what attracts us to them.
Yeah.
Because they're relatable. And I feel that I feel like I know them, but I don't, because of just how raw and open they are with us. And I think that is what makes this company so successful, is because him and Bang sees that. He's like, you guys need to be happy and not miserable. And you need to be putting out music because you enjoy it, not because you have to. Yeah.
And be able to be yourself. And like, yeah.
Exactly. To stay true to who they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are like really grounded, I think, is like a good way to sum up everything that you were saying. Like, that makes them feel like they're in arm's reach. And Yoongi says that, he says, quote, our message would be a lie if we weren't happy. Which is like, ugh. Damn. Emo.
Really? So another thing that's really cute that they show is BTS being really intimate with each other during practice for the Wings tour, where I think this was just a laid back concert rehearsal that they had. And I'm not sure, but they ended up switching songs with one another. They all just performed each other's songs or like learned the songs. And I think the purpose for this is that they have rehearsed and done so many concerts together that they have learned each other's choreography and they know each other's performances to a T, that they're able to perform each other's personal individual songs. So Jimin ended up performing Reflection and Tae did Begin, which of course, like, oh, that choreography, like he actually knew it.
He got all that footwork. I cannot believe.
I know.
Like,
but he was also silly with it.
Yoongi did Awake and Jungkook did First Love. And
yes. What I loved about First Love is how he tripped over that edge on the stage.
It was really like a perfect example of this movie making us super emo because of like what Yoongi was narrating and just like how like cute this whole moment was with all of them and seeing them perform. But this juxtaposed with a funny moment that, like, he tripped. Like, I was not expecting to see that. And it just, during the end of this, just made all of us kind of laugh in the whole theater.
Yeah.
So Hoseok performed Stigma. So we guess that means that Namjoon did Mama. And we don't remember this exact part of the movie, but sometime during their, like, rehearsal performances, we just kind of see Jimin just standing back in the audience in this awesome leather jacket, and he's just kind of, like, admiring all the members from, like, different places, like ARMY would be doing.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was very special.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So a moment that was just, I think, a high point for a lot of the theaters around the world was when Yantan made his appearance. It was this close-up shot, this massive shot of him where he was coming out of his bag and he was sitting there with Taeyang, and you just see fluffy baby Yantan. He just looks so cute. And without a doubt, I can say most theaters, if not all, just
went fucking crazy
in unison. Yeah.
Like, yeah. We had been laughing and ooing and aahing the entire time. But, like, when Yantan, like, just popped up out of that bag, nobody expected it. And, like, everybody went fucking crazy. Like, it was so cute.
Uh-huh, yeah. And you see him come out, and then there's Jungkook off to the side, like, come here. And he's like, no, don't do that. And I think he peed. And they had to, had to clean up the mess.
Clean it up.
And then, of course, there's J-Hope, who held on to him and was singing mic drop, like, did you see my bag? And making him do all the dance moves. Oh, yeah,
he made him dance.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was so cute.
It was just adorable.
And it was so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so adorable. Yeah. Okay, so one of the last scenes that I feel like was a really impactful scene for both of us and for everybody who was watching. So we're both going to kind of talk about this, but BTS was talking individually in this white room, like just a really well-lit, like daylight-lit room, and they're all like in fresh clothes, and they just look really nice. And they were talking about what they thought the future held. They spoke about, like, the end of BTS, but in an uncertain way. But they did address, like, they know eventually all of this, everything that's happening is going to come to an end.
Yeah. And just hearing them speak about this potential end of BTS, even though it's kind of vague because they don't know and we don't know, mm-hmm. it made me an emotional wreck but in a blissful way, because I'm just so happy with how far they've come. And all of the goals that they've achieved and that their, like, biggest, wildest dreams have all come true. But still, like, this is not even the high point of their success. And I have confidence in saying that. But just them talking about this potential end, like, they know it will happen eventually. Again, like you said, they were talking about this burnout that a lot of K-pop artist experience and a lot of artists experience mm-hmm. around 6 years. And so, you know, they are going to eventually burn out. I mean, they are just so overworked in a sense, but also they're doing it because they want to do it. But also, like, when I think Taeyang and Yoongi hit on this, like, being able to express themselves and grow and explore as individual artists and, like, their styles. I just look at the Beatles. I always go back to the Beatles. I'm so sorry, but it's gonna happen at some point. And part of me is sad, but also a large part of me is happy for them because they've been able to live out their dreams.
Their wildest dreams. Like,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. I think dreams they weren't even dreaming of. Things that just...
No.
They never even thought to dream of because they thought, oh, that would never happen, right? So...
Right.
Yeah. And so I kind of think, okay, maybe BTS or yes, BTS will come to an end, but we'll get to see them grow and explore outside of BTS in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone is like a new era in itself. And I'm excited for that. Yeah.
That is like... That's a really sweet sentiment.
Yeah.
We have at least 8 more years of BTS because they have another year left in their contract and then a 7-year contract after that. So
true.
It's not going to be soon, okay? No. It's not soon.
But they did talk
about when it.
And I think that's what made it so sad and kind of sentimental.
I think they also think about, like, when the caliber of what they're doing, like the amount of work or the amount of big concerts. Like, I think they're just expecting this to, like, die out. Like, they might still make music, but they're not going to have this amount of fans or this amount of following or this amount of influence. And they just feel like right now is
tour.
Like their high point. Yeah. Or they won't tour anymore or like whatever. Like, I feel like that's also kind of what they think about, like the end of all of this as in like what is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it can have kind of dual meaning in the way that they were approaching that question and answering that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's true. Just kind of the idea that it will happen eventually. And yeah, it will be good to see them like grow on their own, I think. Yeah. But still, I don't want to think about it yet.
I'm excited, though. I'm curious to see where they go beyond BTS.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that comes also from already seeing like Hope World and Mono and like individual performances and stuff like that, that we we love to see more of, which I honestly think within the frame of BTS, it's not like they're stopped from doing that, which is cool. It's just that they don't have a lot of time to do it because for all of them, BTS has to come first.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the very end, really, of the entire movie, they interlaced clips of them from a debut. And this just, I mean, after this followed that White Room scene. So it really started to bring us all back to their beginning. And so we started reflecting on when from No More Dream and debut and just kind of bringing it all together as a whole. And it just added to the emotion. But something that happened in my theater that was particularly funny was it showed a clip of RM during an early vlog when they did those like vlog videos in their studios. They're like little tiny studios. And of course, he's got his dreads on, those really thick dreads. And he's got the massive glasses on his face. And he's, you know, rap monster, not dance monster, you know, whatever. but he's saying that whole thing. There's a girl in the audience at my theater who just yells, "Turn it off!" And everyone in the entire theater just burst out into laughter and started hysterically laughing at her comment. And it was just so perfect because it's a time that is kind of cringy. And I think, I mean, if you look back on any time in your life in the past, like middle school in particular, it just makes you like, ugh. Look, you don't want to look at it like that. What was I doing?
2013 wasn't a good time for anyone.
Yeah.
Literally, if you just like, okay, that was 2013 Namjoon or 2012, depending on when those videos came out. Like, I mean, think about yourself in 2013, 2012.
Gross.
God.
Bangs. I had bangs.
Oh, God.
Yep. And I had yellow hair because I didn't know what toner was. Yeah.
And I had zero confidence, so.
Aww. Yeah.
Aww. It's.
You just took it to a whole those new scenes, level there, though, so.
We did. Okay, I'm sorry. But I was just trying to make a joke. Oh. But that, those dreads, like. But seeing like all those other scenes also, because it started just with No More Dream, but it got, like, it showed us different comeback kind of like scenes and things that BTS had done, and that was just really cool to see like all those clips interlaced coming up to like the present time and kind of ending with like this view of leaves that had the sun shining through them, and you could see like blue sky, and they were kind of like yellow, kind of green, and it kind of left us with like a really hopeful vibe. And everything that they said in the White Room and Yoongi's narration just kind of wrapped it all up, and it was a beautiful ending.
Yeah. I thought it was really well put together, the whole thing.
Yeah, overall. Yeah. So, cool.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we got to do this episode, because the YouTube series had come out and we're like, how are we even going to do this? Because there's all these episodes. Seriously. And they're all like 40 minutes
and
long.
Come back.
Yeah, it just, too much was going on. So the fact that they came out with a movie on the big screen, which, incredible, amazing that we got to see them on the big screen in a theater in our hometown. But, well, not your hometown, but in your town that you live in. Really neat. And so I'm glad that we were able to talk about they're behind the scenes really for their Wings tour, and even behind the scenes for more than that, like the AMAs and award shows, and even getting into DNA era, which was really neat.
Yeah. And it was, so that was really cool because it was more of like a reflective piece on their feelings and their experience of the tour, as opposed to like the YouTube series, which was really kind of like, here's what was everything that was going on. And it had some reflection from them too, and some thoughts and like little aside moments. But I felt that this was more in depth and more kind of all encompassing. Like, yeah, we talk about how it kind of wrapped up their overall feelings of like how far they've come since then, since before the Wings tour, and now like after the Wings tour, mm-hmm, which, because I kind of got the feeling that that last interview was like way after the Wings tour.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, definitely.
So yeah. Anyways, tell us your favorite parts of the movie if you got to see it. Or if there was anything that we didn't talk about that especially stood out to you, because we didn't take notes, like this was just the things that we remembered from seeing it one time, but obviously loved it. It was awesome. You can let us know what you think about it or what we missed by emailing us at standingbtspodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us and DM us on Twitter, and follow us and DM us on Instagram at @standingbtspodcast on both of those. And you can like our Facebook page, connect with us on there if that's your thing. And you can find links for all of that, as well as our Patreon and our PayPal, in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.